All right, everybody can have a seat. This week I was on the road to a hospital in Illinois, and I was talking to a staff member there. It was kind of after hours. It was after classes for the day. And he mentioned he was really big in his church. And I mentioned to him I was pastor. We started talking. The fellow's Catholic. And March 6th is the beginning of Lent. Lent is the time where from March 6th up to Easter, where people is to prepare the believer for Jesus, Jesus' resurrection. A lot of times, usually the person will give up something for Lent, like give up sugar or give up caffeine. And, oh, Lord, I couldn't imagine. But something along those lines, give up meat for Lent. And this person had something laid on his heart, though, very different. This man was going to drive to his church every day on the way home from work and on the weekends to pray. To pray for every Christian and every church. It sent chills down my spine and gave me hope. It gave me hope because this is a man that stood for his faith and is using prayer as a first resort. Gave me chills down my spine because this is a guy in another denomination halfway across the country that's sensing this uneasiness and seeing what's going on in the world. Regular Joe, regular guy, just like me, just like a lot of people. Forces of darkness are coming out against the church and humanity, all guns blazing. I think time's coming. Jesus is coming back, and they're stepping up their efforts. These attacks on the church are worldwide, and they're at home as well. In China, in 2018, 100,000 Christians were arrested. To give you an estimate of how that's been ramped up in 2017, less than 4,000 more. That's a 25-time increase in 1 year. This year, a church, and I forgot which province, that seats 50,000 people was closed and imploded. It was blown up by the Chinese government. Even after these people are released from being arrested, their lives are horrible. The Chinese system, transport, healthcare, jobs, are all tied into a single socialist system. That arrest record, they can't get transport permits. Like, if I got busted for something, I probably couldn't fly on planes anymore. This is even restricting them from pensions they've worked for. And there's worse. Some of these people don't ever make it out they don't ever get released. They just disappear. In Canada, a lot closer to home, Justin Trudeau, who was a pool cleaner, bouncer, turned prime minister, he's starting a summer jobs program. It sounds pretty good. Jobs for teenagers, jobs for college students. There's a questionnaire. In order to progress in the job interview, you have to have a checklist saying that you support transgenderism, Islam, abortion, assisted suicide, and a list of about a dozen other things. He and his cronies are systematically trying to deprive Christian universities and schools of their accreditation, basically closing them down. Best part, which is really struck home for me, is that he made it illegal for doctors and hospital staff to excuse themselves on the basis of faith for assisted suicides. In Canada, assisted suicides and euthanasia is a very real thing with their socialized medicine system. They have a commission on it. I would be fired and or given criminal charges if I tried to excuse myself from that. This is right across the border from Niagara, New York. This is about 70 miles from Seattle, Washington. New Yorker, and this is at home, just described the opening of a Chick-fil-A in New York City. And I'm saying the opening of a Chick-fil-A in New York City as pervasive Christian traditionalism and the creepy infiltration of New York City. If anyone has been to New York City, I got news for you. The creepiest thing in New York City is not a chicken biscuit. I've been there. But that's how, because these folks don't open on Sunday. This is pervasive Christian traditionalism. Colleges across America, they're teaching about the evils of Christian privilege. Broadway, plays around the world, mocking Christians. Jesus, in his name, images of him on the cross have been distorted beyond belief. Television, online, Christians were portrayed as dishonest, prejudiced, insulting. Christian colleges are up under constant assault. Some of you may have saw North Greenville University, recent recipient of that. They've been hit with a $2.5 million lawsuit by a person that they hired as a recruiting firm. There's a government law that if you suspect violations of government law, you can sue on behalf of the government. You get part of the fee. This woman took money from the college. Now she's trying to sue the college on behalf of the government. I don't think it's coincidence this is occurring with an assault on the Southern Baptist Association. A lot of these colleges are trying to lose their, having their accreditation stripped away from them. And having taught at a college, you might as well lock the doors. Nursing school without nursing accreditation is worthless. Can't get financial aid. And how many students can pay out of pocket? They're systematically trying to shut these schools down. Christian groups being persecuted on campus, their offices and handouts being vandalized, members even being physically assaulted, even though there's no war on American Christianity. How many people say Merry Christmas anymore? How many times have you heard that on television on a non-Christian channel? How many years has it been? Other than Charlie, it's Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. Have you heard that? Outside of a local level. But you don't have to worry, though. Mainstream media says there ain't no war on Christianity, so we're all good. And I realized what my message was supposed to be about this week. We're coming to a point in time where we're going to be forced to either deny God or deny our lives. And I started looking through Scripture, and I found this section of Scripture in Daniel that it seemed to fit perfectly. Daniel, at this point in time, was an older fella. What had happened was he kept being blessed. He kept working his way up in the Babylonian government. This was after Israel was conquered by Babylon. They were all carried off. Daniel and his friends went there. They had worked their way up. They retained their faith in God. New king came along, King Darius. He appointed 120 of these satraps, or basically they were like lieutenant governors. Over them, they had three governors that answered to the king. Daniel was one of the governors. He was over like 40 of these satraps, and he was doing real good. You know, anyone that's been at a job when you're doing real good and somebody isn't, do they leave you alone? Nope. Never have with me. These guys started trying to find a way to accuse him, one way or another, but they couldn't find any fault in his work. He had a good work ethic. He treated people well. And this man's in his 70s and 80s. He's well respected. He's honored by the king. And they're thinking, well, he's just old, dude. We're going to fold him up like a cheap suit. We just got to find the right thing. They're jealous of the respect that he's earned. Earned. Some people don't want that. Earned's bad. It's a four-letter word to them. But he earned it. I think there are lessons in this scripture. The first lesson is if we as Christians are doing what's right in God's eyes, it's going to make some people uncomfortable. It's going to make some people mad. They're going to be jealous of what we do. They're going to be resentful of what we do. Maybe us trying to do the right thing has put a kink in their plans where they have been siphoning off us for years. This gained Daniel's observance of God and God's laws. It gained him their attention. And he was saying, well, we can't find anything right about it. You know, we can't find anything with his work. So we're going to attack him about his God. We'll attack his faith. How many people right now, you don't have to raise your hands, feel comfortable discussing your faith at work right now? There are times I don't. Even when me and this guy were talking, it was an empty room and we were both looking around out of habit. Many times we're attacked through our faith. They view us as weak and vulnerable. The world, even though we're not. And then these commissioners, they went to the king. And now King Darius really liked Daniel. And they were telling him, you know, we just want you to make a stance that anyone that prays to anybody other than you, they got to be put to death. And they fed on his ego. And so he signed it. Does it sound familiar? Clueless, arrogant people passing laws that'll have dramatic effects on the lives of others. Yeah, this is what's happening. And it's not anything new. It happened in Daniel's time. King Darius wasn't, I don't think, really a bad person, but I don't think he knew the effects of what he was signing. I think people played on his pride, his ego, lies, and they wanted to ruin a man of God. This decree was directly aimed at God. I think we have laws now that are directly aimed at God. We have laws on the books that make it illegal to help an innocent baby who is the victim of a botched abortion. Republican or Democrat, that's wrong. That is wrong. Republican or Democrat, that is wrong. You're fined $100,000 if you crush an eagle egg. A baby that is the victim of a botched abortion, you cannot help them. You could lose your nursing license, your medical license. That's wrong. I don't care which way you vote. Because of our faith, many in the world is going to look on us as weak, ignorant, and vulnerable. Someone to be used. Laugh at you, ridicule you, make fun of you, talk about you. Daniel's faith was his strength. His faith is why he stood strong. That's why he survived. This man should not have been at this point. He was an Israelite refugee. His faith got him to this point, one of the top four most powerful men in the world's largest empire at that time. Daniel knew what the dot, he knew it had been signed. He went up to his house, he looked towards Jerusalem, and he prayed. He prayed for God, he prayed for restoration of his people. And these other guys heard it. This is one of the most bravest acts recorded in the Bible. This man knew they were looking at him. He knew what the penalty was for doing this. This was a wealthy man. His God over his position. He made that moment. He could have hidden his worship. He could have renounced God, followed the order from the king. Next lesson from this section of scripture, we know where God ranked in Daniel's priorities. Where's God ranking ours? Because this is bravery. Because this man knew he was going to die a horrible death. The Babylonians didn't do lethal injection. It was going to be awful. A furnace, lion, something. Where's God fall out on our list? People are watching. Might be someone who's trying to hurt you or someone who is struggling and watching you as an example. When the bad guys came up, they saw this, they went to the king and they told him, well, Daniel broke your law. And the king realized what he'd done. And he tried to use this. He tried to excuse himself. He tried to excuse Daniel. These people had used lies and treachery to get what they wanted, the destruction of a man of God. They manipulated the legal system. And unfortunately, it was signed that he couldn't do that. There's still people trying to use laws right now. This is Aaron and Melissa Klein. Missionaries? No. Pastors? No. Went to a foreign country? No. They owned a bakery in Oregon. 2013, they refused to provide a wedding cake for a wedding that they viewed went against their faith. State of Oregon fined them, garnished their bank accounts and assets, taking more than $144,000 from this couple. They had worked years to own this bakery. Husband's currently on disability. The bakery had to close. This man was on a garbage truck trying to make a living for his family and got disabled. I wish I could tell you the assault stopped. There's still groups trying to punish these people years later. They stood up. They didn't deny their God. King didn't have any other choice. He gave orders and Daniel was brought in, cast into the lion's den, and Darius told him, your God whom you constantly serve will himself deliver you. Rolled a stone over the den. These were vicious lions. A lot of times in the old ages, the animals weren't fed for days and days and days, deliberately, so that when someone comes in, and lions have a natural predatory instinct. When the African Railroad was being built in the 19th century, there were cases of lions that actually hunted humans. There was a movie made by, I think, White Darkness or something like that. And it was a set of lions. And think about your house cat in a 300-pound body with claws like that and teeth like that. That is a bad disposition. Darius went off to try and get some sleep. He tossed and turned that night. He couldn't. He couldn't get any sleep. He had a conscience. This man, his family had shown mercy to the Jews who were in exile in Babylon after the destruction of Jerusalem. He'd been manipulated by evil people with selfish intentions. I think God worked through Darius that night. God can work through a lot of unlikely people. Joseph told his brothers who had sold him into slavery in Genesis 50:20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about all these present results to preserve so many people. One thing about what is going on, it is forcing Christians to talk to folks that they may not ever talk to. You think about a solid boy from South Carolina raised up Southern Baptist talking with someone who was a Catholic in Illinois, and they're talking about God and about the church, and they're praying for each other's church. So it's producing some good effects. I sent my Catholic friend a verse from Ezekiel to help him with his praying during Lent. God, Darius spoke and Daniel spoke back to him, he'd survive the night. Lions' mouths had been shut, and Darius gave the order for Daniel to be hauled out of there. What happens later is the guys that tried to cause all the trouble, they got to meet the kitty cats. It didn't have the same result. I think the third lesson in this, Daniel didn't give up on God. God didn't give up on Daniel. Daniel's road wasn't easy. He was basically kidnapped as a child, brought to a strange land, raised up there. He trusted in God. God blessed him. But there was a lot of hard work. God took Daniel's hard work and multiplied it. Look back on our lives. When did we grow as Christians? Was it in smooth sailing? Or was it in the lion's den? Daniel stayed true to God. God stayed true to Daniel. And as we're about to go to prayer, I want to reflect on these three points from the scripture. If we as Christians are doing what's right in God's eyes, it's going to make people mad. It will. There are people that do not want to see a Christian culture in this country or in this world. You're probably going to be putting this point in our lives where we have to choose God or make a living. Ask yourself, where does God rank in our priorities? Daniel, you saw, he risked death. This is one of the most important questions we'll ever ask. If God's on that back burner where you put the green beans at, you lukewarm. I've been there. It's a bad place to be. Jesus had something good to say about 6 out of 7 churches in the ancient world in Revelation. The one church he had nothing good to say was a lukewarm church. And lukewarm Christians are the same way. Where does God rank on your priority list? Do you live your life with God making the decisions, or is God a spare tire that's pulled out when things are going wrong? Jesus died for us, for our sins, so we can have everlasting life. When time comes, do we take up our cross or do we deny him? I think it may not be in my lifetime, but I think in those kids' lifetimes, they're going to have to make that decision. Look back on your life. How many times have you given up, but that one thing that you needed was there and kept you going? Our third point, don't give up on God. He won't give up on you. It ain't easy. He don't say it's easy. He never promises us an easy life. Do you think that one thing being there at that moment in your life was a coincidence? That one thing, that one word, when you were just ready to set everything down, it's not a coincidence. It was the Holy Spirit. It was God working in our lives. If you're facing a situation in your life right now that reminds you of this scripture, remember Daniel's actions. Maybe there are people in your life who are trying to keep you from being that Christian because they're jealous, they're selfish, or insecure. Daniel kept believing in God and kept God at the top of his priority list. God didn't give up on Daniel because Daniel didn't give up on God. If I can get everybody stand with me, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to go to him in song. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we come to you in this hurting world. Father, we pray for our leaders. We're praying for our teachers, we're praying for our children, we're praying for other churches in this area, we're praying for other churches in this country and the people that are in them. Father, we're coming to a time that Jesus told us about. We're coming to a time that we'll have to deny you or undertake suffering. Father, prepare our hearts to be in the right way. Father, and we still hold out hope for this country. We hold out hope for his people. We hold out hope for his leaders, Father. Work in their hearts. Work in their lives. Help them to look towards your word as law, not as outdated, not as a hindrance, but as a guide, as a map for the way this country should be. Father, we just lift up every heart in this room. You know the struggles that they're all facing. We're all facing. Father, there are outside influences in everyone here that are trying to pull us off the path that we're supposed to be on. Father, we put you on our priority list in the right way. Our children see it. Our coworkers see it. Father, we can impact them positively. It doesn't take fancy words. It doesn't take fancy prayers. It just takes a heart for you and a willingness to do it. And Father, we just ask that you set our hearts on fire for you. And Father, where we can help one person and that one person can help someone else, Father, that's how we turn this country around and make it what it's supposed to be. A place that's pleasing right in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, the altars are open.